Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is happening, everybody? It's time for another Stochastic and DFS by the Numbers crossover. As you guys are watching this video, do Brady and myself a big favor. Like the video, subscribe to both of our YouTube channels, Stochastic and DFS by the Numbers, because both Brady and I put out a lot of DFS content. Brady covering everything from a prize picks angle, DFS angle, betting angle. And then for myself, I'm going to be doing a full slate breakdown on Friday with some of my favorite bets on the slate, as well as using the Stochastic Sims tools to break down the entire slate and how our data sees it from a simulation standpoint. Brady, how did last week go for you? I remember you being on some props that hit pretty good.
Yeah, betting was fine. From a DraftKings perspective, the cash was great. I was able to avoid the Kizraev-Muradov fight, which was just a complete disaster, and that was high-owned. Had Charles Racky in cash, which was nice, and then Molly McCann. So cash was perfect. Tournaments was almost there. I was like triple the field pretty much on Charles Racky, but didn't have any Carolina, which she went out there and scored 100 points. And then also was a little bit too high on, I was on Dalidze, which by the way, I was kind of shocked how that played out. Like I picked Imavov to win and picked him to win by decision. Like that's what happened, but holy crap. I wasn't expecting Imavov to go out there and just completely destroy Dalidze for the full 25 minutes. So that was shocking. But yeah, looking to it's another Apex card. This is a tough card, in my opinion. We have 14 fights, a lot of newcomers, so it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, this is last week was an Apex card. This is a very Apex card. This is aggressively Apex in terms of the fights we have. We're getting last minute cancellations. We've already got a fight that changed over today that I wasn't sure if it was going to be included on the UFC site or not, but it is. We've got Aoki now is a new opponent here in Kouamba. I don't know if you've looked into this fight all that much with the new opponent here, but he was supposed to fight Hadzovic, and that fight has gotten canceled, but they were able to get him a new opponent fairly quickly. But where we're going to start here is by breaking down the main event, which actually the main event is one that I am looking forward to because I have a lot of questions about Joe Pyfer. I think he's a super talented, high upside prospect, but we don't really know what his defensive wrestling is going to look like over an extended stretch of time. We don't know what he's going to look like in the third and fourth rounds and things along those lines. So with that in mind, for the main event, Brady, which way are you preferring to play it from a DFS standpoint?
So this is the main event where it's last week it was like wasn't too high on the main event, even though Imavov did go out there and scored, you know, fairly well. This week I want to be very heavily exposed to this fight. It's a fight that is heavily favored to end inside the distance. On, I think most books, it's around like minus 350 to minus 400 fight doesn't go to decision. And the reason being is it's because it's a Joe Pyfer fight. Joe Pyfer has not seen a third round in about 6 years. He's only been to the third round once. And you mentioned it, man. I mean, there's so many question marks. You know, Pyfer's going out there and he's handling these guys. He's going out there, he's getting, you know, early knockouts, early submissions. But, you know, what happens if this fight reaches the late second round, the third round, and even the fourth and the fifth, like what does Pyfer look like? And we've seen some fights where Pyfer just slows down. He's been finished in both of his losses. So, you know, although I think the most likely scenario here is Joe Pyfer does come forward and land a big shot and knock out Jack Hermanson within the first two rounds. Jack Hermanson cannot be ignored down at 7,200 because this is somebody that has five round experience. This is somebody that's fought the much better competition by a mile. And this is someone who's just always been very underrated. I think Jack Hermanson's striking's underrated, and his ground game's always been elite. He's an elite grappler, has elite ground and pound. And if he's able to get on top of Pyfer in the third, fourth, and fifth round, there are absolutely going to be finishing opportunities down the stretch. It's just, you know, is his chin going to be able to hold up for those first 7.5, 10 minutes is the question. So I'm going to be very heavily exposed to this fight. My preferred play is going to be Pyfer. I'm going to have more Pyfer. I think Pyfer knocks him out, but Jack Hermanson 7,200 is a salary savings play that I really do like this week as well. So I don't know what my ownership's going to be like yet, but I'm probably going to be pretty much near 100% owned on this main event.
I'm going to be much higher on the Pyfer side. And the main reason for me is just from a game theory aspect, the way this slate breaks down, there are not very many payup options I like outside of Joe Pyfer. And then on the other side, if I don't like very many payup options other than Joe Pyfer, it's all right, if I'm saving salary with Jack Hermanson, what am I getting to on the high end? And the answer is not a lot of fighters I feel super confident with, or the ones that I do think, like Luka Lumbuni, who I do think is going to win. It's like, what is her realistic scoring upside in that kind of fight? So I do think that that kind of just lineup construction, the fact that I don't love very many payup options outside of Joe Pyfer, is just going to lead me to playing more of him, because the opportunity cost of not playing him probably means I'm getting to other payup options that I don't really love for the slate. And the other thing too is that I do think the most likely outcome here is that Jack Hermanson's probably getting knocked out in the first couple of minutes. If the fight gets extended, it certainly gets very interesting, because we haven't seen Joe Pyfer fight past the second round in the UFC. If we go ahead and pull up his fight here, as I accidentally clicked on Jack Hermanson, Joe Pyfer's fight, fought against Stoltzfus on the Contender Series, broke his arm on a takedown, so didn't really get a lot of information out of that. Second round finish against Ozzie Diaz, first round finish against Alan Amadovsky, first round finish against Gerald Meerschaert, second round submission over Abdulrazak Alhassan. So we've never seen him fight out of the third round. In the past, we've seen him start to slow down. My gut feeling is that he has worked on his cardio and it's improved since then, but I have no way of knowing that for sure until I see it in action. All that aside, though, I'm not going to write off Jack Hermanson, but by far my preferred option to play in the main event is going to be Joe Pyfer from a DFS perspective. Outside of Pyfer, are there any payup options you're really liking for this slate, Brady?
No, I mean, not really. I mean, last week we had, Themba Garimbo up top. We had Molly McCann up top, you know, some other fighters I liked up top. This week it's like, you mentioned it's Pyfer, and then it's like I like Gregory Rodriguez, but does he have a ton of upside? I'm not so sure. I like Carlos Prochez, but extremely scary to play a debuting guy who has been finished like five times. I guess if I had to pick one, it would be Balaji Oki, 9,500. He was supposed to take on Demir Hadzovic, which that was a complete mismatch. Demir Hadzovic was coming back. I was shocked to even see he was on the card because he's 37 years old. No takedown defense whatsoever. Just not the best fighter. But Hadzovic actually pulled out, and then in steps Timothy Kwamba, who was on the Contender Series here. And yeah, Timothy Kwamba is coming up a weight class. And what I think they're doing here is I think they're very high on Oki. And the reason I think that is because they're not giving him like a Terrence McKinney on short notice. They're giving him Timothy Kwamba, who won on the Contender Series, but they didn't sign him because it was kind of a lackluster fight. So yeah, I think Balaji Oki, he's a guy that's just going to go out there and he's going to go balls to the wall until he finishes you. So I expect a ton of volume, could see some wrestling, and he's, of course, going to look for that finish as well. So although very expensive, the most expensive on the slate, you mentioned it, there's not a ton of great options up here. So I'll go with Oki.
Yeah, and then another part, too, about Kwamba when he was on Contender Series, it was a lackluster, almost undersells what it is, because he got outstruck 67-43. So there was very little action in the fight. He didn't really strike me as somebody who has a lot of ceiling for DFS purposes, Kwamba. So I agree with you. Definitely favor Oki to win that fight. If nothing else, just based on the volume that we've seen that he could put out compared to what we've seen out of Kwamba. But then the other part of it for me is I just don't like payup options. So Oki is kind of by default, he's my favorite payup guy, but it's because what is the realistic upside in Marcos, who we've seen be in fights that don't score very favorably for DraftKings? Luka Lumbuni, what is her potential upside for scoring for DFS standpoint? I also don't think that Lumbuni is going to score particularly well. If we look at her numbers, she lands 4.14 significant strikes per minute. She lands 2.04 takedowns per 15 minutes, but also not somebody who I really see with a lot of finishing equity. There's a lot of fights I really like in the mid-range this week, Brady, that I think have a lot of finishing potential. So I don't really love the high end, and I really like building my lineups around fights like the Michael Johnson-Darius Flowers fight, because Flowers is going to be balls to the wall for the first like 3 minutes of the fight, and then he's either going to finish Michael Johnson or the wheels are going to fall off. We saw that from Flowers in his UFC debut. We also have a great striker versus grappler matchup in Rodolfo Vieira against Armin Petrosian. These are fights in the mid-range I think are going to score very well. And I don't have as much confidence in the win equity as I have in these fights in the high end, but these are fights where I'm confident the winners are going to score very well, where I don't have that same confidence in like Marcos or Luka Lumbuni, just because if they win, I don't think it scores particularly well. So I love the mid-range. Is there a particular fighter in the mid-range that you prioritize the highest?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the same thing. I'm going to be living in the mid-range this week. You mentioned, like, the two fights that I really want to target is that Michael Johnson-Darius Flowers fight. I think the winner is going to score very well because it is a Darius Flowers fight. And then also, yeah, the Petrosian-Vieira fight is, I think, is a must-target as well at these prices. For me, I think the one guy that I'm probably the most high on is going to be Rodolfo Vieira. He's 8,200, and that's just because he's going to have all the grappling upside here. He's going to have all the early finishing upside here. I think this fight could definitely finish, but I kind of lean if Petrosian's getting the finish, it's when Vieira starts to slow down, gas out, maybe get finished late second, third. But yeah, Vieira's going to be able to get takedowns here. You know, Petrosian's takedown defense is some of the worst I've ever seen. I think it's like 34% on paper, and you just don't want Vieira on top of you. You don't want Vieira taking your back, and Petrosian tends to give up his back a lot. So I'm going to have quite a bit of Vieira here. And then on the flip side, yeah, Petrosian, you can make a case for him too. As long as he's able to survive those first 7.5 minutes, there's a good chance he takes over and finishes down the stretch. So yeah, those two fights I'm loving in the mid-range. And even like the Zach Palga, Bogdan Guskov fight, I mean, that fight should score well also. So yeah, this mid-range is, I'm going to be all over it this week.
Yeah, so I'm also going to add that my priority in the mid-range is going to be Rodolfo Vieira, primarily because his fights are pretty easy. If he gets takedowns, he's probably going to get a submission because he's arguably the best submission grappler currently on the UFC roster. And then also, you look at the takedown defense numbers on Armin Petrosian, and I do think this is a matchup where the physicality of Vieira should lend to him getting takedowns. Petrosian only defends takedowns at a 36% clip, so as long as that number does hold up there, it's only going to take one takedown from Vieira to ultimately end up winning this fight, especially because Petrosian is not really all that well-credentialed as a submission grappler himself. So I view this as if we do get early takedowns from Vieira, he probably ends up with a first round finish. And based on the data, I think it's more likely than not that he ends up landing those takedowns in the early going. And then also, as far as the Darius Flowers versus Michael Johnson fight, my preferred lean is going to be Darius Flowers, not because I think he's the better fighter, but because I have massive durability questions about Michael Johnson. We've seen him knocked out multiple times. He's coming off a brutal knockout against Diego Ferreira, and he's also just not trustworthy. Even in fights where Michael Johnson's cleanly winning in the early going, he finds a way to fuck it up and lose fights all the time. So I like Darius Flowers quite a bit in the mid-range. And that's also a reason why I just don't think this is a slate where we really need to pay up to the most expensive fighters. There's so many fights that have finishing equity in this mid-range. But is there anybody on the low end that you do like to save salary with outside of a Jack Hermanson? And it doesn't have to be all the way down, but maybe anybody else in the 7K range.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Jack Hermanson, because I think Jack Hermanson is somebody I will have some of. I think like a dart throw this week could be Trevin Giles at 7,000. I'm probably the biggest Trevin Giles hater out there. I think this guy is skilled, but he's kind of like Michael Johnson. He always seems to find a way to lose, just extremely untrustworthy. But on the flip side, he's going against Carlos Prochas, the level of competition discrepancies it's crazy. I mean, Trevin Giles has fought the much better competition both inside and outside the UFC. And although Prochas, I do like what I see from the guy. This guy has a massive reach. I love the striking, the tools on the feet. This guy, at the end of the day, again, hasn't fought the best competition, and he's been finished 5 times. So Giles at 7K, I don't think many people are going to play him, but he's the one guy down low that I think has some upside. This fight is, I think, heavily favored to end inside the distance. I think I saw like minus 325 for the fight to finish. So yeah, I think somebody's probably getting served here. And we've seen a lot of these contender series guys come in here to the UFC and not perform too well on that first fight. So I don't think Trevin Giles going out there and getting a win would be the most shocking thing. And it's not like we're paying, you know, 9,000 for Trevin Giles. We're getting him at 7K this week. So that'd be the one, if anything, down low. I don't like a ton down low this week.
Yeah, it's tough on the cheap end. I'm going to go to a little bit higher on the end of the 7K range with Bogdan Guskov. And he had a brutal UFC debut. In his first fight in the UFC, they booked him against Volkan Uzdemir. And yeah, he got KO'd. He didn't look particularly good in that fight. But here's where I think he could find success against Zach Pauga. And it's that we just haven't seen a ton of output on the feet from Pauga. And I'm not sure how he would react to an early onslaught that could potentially come from Guskov in this fight. Because one thing we have seen from him outside of the UFC, and while he's fighting absolute nobodies that aren't fighters that have, you know, massive credentials or have a lot of experience or have even fought high-level competition themselves, Guskov hits hard. He's a capable finisher, and he's very aggressive in the early going. And I do wonder if just that amount of pace and pressure being put on Pauga could be enough to get him out of there. We did see Pauga get knocked out by a Muhammad Usman. And I know that Pauga was fighting up a weight class. He had no business belonging as a heavyweight when he fought on tough. But at the same time, too, Muhammad Usman is not somebody who I consider to be like a massively dangerous striker or somebody who's a very well-refined striker. So I could see Guskov putting away Pauga in the same way that Usman did in that fight. And that is price point. That could be enough for it to end up being a win. And somebody lands in the optimal lineup for Guskov, because I do think a win for him would ultimately score well. Anything else you want to add about the slate, Brady?
No, we talked about it. I think the mid-range is very good. I like Guskov as well. I'm picking him outright. I think he has a good chance to knock out Pauga there. So yeah, mid-range for me, it's a tough slate. 14 fights this card, a lot of newcomers, a lot of short-nosed replacements. We still have to see the way, like, we might even miss some fights, might be canceled as well. So, I mean, this slate's already a big mess, but it's going to be fun as always. And it should be a good one.
The only way to make this fight card more of an apex card is to have like four weight misses, yep, two fights canceled, one fight that gets pulled out after the slate locks because somebody gets sick in the locker room. It's the only way to make this more aggressively in an apex slate. But guys, that's going to do it for us. Thank you very much for watching. Check out all the rest of Brady's content over at DFS by the Numbers. He puts out a prolific amount of content every week. And on Friday, I'm doing my full slate breakdown over at Stochastic using our Sims tool to simulate out the slate and see which fighters I'm targeting the heaviest. So thank you guys very much for watching. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next week for a much better Volkanovski pay-per-view card. So see you guys then. Peace out.
See you.